Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And this is radio program number 75 if you're listening by shortwave radio. All these programs are recorded and uploaded onto the website under Strength for the Journey Radio. Also, we have a new website. It's S4TJ Radio. It's S with a number 4, TJRadio.com. And it's a 24-hour, 7 days a week internet radio station that plays worship music and previous radio programs during the day. And if you'd like to check that out, I think you would enjoy the worship music as well as the programs. Today I have a good friend of mine, David Williams, and he recently moved to Panama about 7 months ago. I guess you'd call it recent. but first, before I bring David on, I'm going to mention a few things here. We have a new little funding that we're looking, trying to raise some money for another chick track order. We've gone through probably about 110,000 tracks out of about 130 that we've brought down here, and we're going to try to get together another 100 to 150,000 tracks. We want to not only cover Cherokee, but we're going to go to other nations, Spanish-speaking nations, as well as the other side of the country in Panama City, because they need the gospel there. And what we've done is we've set up a account with Chick Publications. And if you'd like to donate, you can send a check directly to them in care of the account that it goes directly to. And all the funds will go directly to that that tracked order. We're trying to get anywhere from 100 to 150,000 tracks. We get a special rate once we get over 100,000 tracks. And it's account number 2059 that you can put at the bottom of the check and write Strength for the Journey as well. And the account that it will go to, or the address, is Chick Publications, Attention Reba Parkinson. It's 8780 Archibald Avenue, and it's Rancho, and it's Cucamonga. It's Cucamonga, California, and it's 91730. And what they're going to do is we're going to try to get anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 raised. We have about $1,000 raised so far, and so we're creeping our way up to that $8,000 to $10,000 mark that we need to get these tracks down here. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about this as we go through the program, but David, thanks for joining us today. You've been here for about 7 months now, and welcome to Strength for the Journey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
David and I knew each other back in Montana, and the Lord just sovereignly moved, and Eric Entz came down here, and you just felt like, you know, it's time for us to go. You've been wanting to come down here for a number of years, I guess. You started looking into Boquete back 10 years ago, I think.
About 11 years ago, yes. We were just a little slow to get here, that's all.
Well, we are maybe slow, but maybe just never too late. Maybe God's timing is involved in all this. But I want you to share a little bit about just maybe some of your experience of, because if the Lord began to put this on your heart 11 years ago, a lot has happened in 11 years that somehow the circumstances would have brought you to this place now, 11 years later. Explain a little bit about how those circumstances maybe began to develop and how God began to divinely coordinate events in your life that confirmed the timing of everything that God did.
Sure. Well, in many respects, through loss and destruction, and obviously we don't think of God as the author of loss and destruction. He's the giver of good gifts. He's a good father, and I maintain that belief and that trust in that, but. But, you know, many times he will take away, you know, things from us. I've come to the conclusion that he's far more concerned with my soul than he is my net worth as man measures it. You know, right now my understanding is that my net worth is that I'm worth more than many sparrows. And beyond that, I don't know. But you know, the superficial things in life, I think the Lord is more than willing to strip us of those things in order that we would find find what it means to be obedient mm-hmm. and to walk in obedience to him. So, you know, I look at Paul's life and, you know, he, in the scriptures, he lists his resume. He says, well, you know, I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, and, you know, not lacking zeal for sure. And, but he says that all of those things that, you know, that he lost all of those things for the gain, for the all surpassing excellency of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. And it's not that he didn't know Christ Jesus before. I mean, he knew very well who Christ Jesus was, because that was his full-time job. He was going out persecuting those who believed in this Jesus. But to know him as Lord was a different thing. And yes. So Paul had to lose all of those things that he counted as gain in That's order right. to gain Christ as Lord. And so, you know, in many respects, my testimony is the same. Paul says, you know, well, if you're going to ask me to boast in something, I'll boast in my weakness. Paul talks about how he wants to apprehend that for which he was apprehended.
Yes.
And of course, when we look at his conversion experience, you know, did he really have much choice in the matter? I'm not going to push Calvinism or anything like that, but I mean, the sovereign hand of the Lord was upon this man. And, That's right. And so I can say that, you know, without going into all of the gory details, that the Lord used circumstances in our life, in the lives of my wife and I and our family to break us and to crush us. And, you know, oftentimes he'll allow the enemy to come and have influence in our lives as a tool in the hand of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can back this up with scripture. This is not doctrinally unsound. I mean, this is why Nebuchadnezzar came and took the children of Israel into captivity. And you know, certainly thematically, we're going to see that in the United States very shortly, that, you know, it's not that the Lord does not love the people in the United States, but when we have persisted in wickedness and perversion, he's not going to stand by as a loving father and let his children be undisciplined.
Sure.
So, you know, when we see the hand of an enemy come against the United States, I mean, we're already seeing that, but as we continue to see that, in the weeks and months to come, we can understand that God is behind that.
Sure. And it, you know, a lot of these things, I look at it sometimes that God needs, you know, he'll use Pharaoh's army on our backside to get us where we're supposed to go. And I think this is maybe what's happening in many people's lives, is that their comfort zones are being removed right now, because it's time to leave Jerusalem, you know, time to go to Judea and Samaria and other most parts of the world, but nobody wants to leave their comfortable, quote, Jerusalem. And, you know, this is the only way we're going to reach the lost and go into all the world is we have to leave. And this has been a topic that we've had quite a bit recently. Dr. Daniel Daves and I were able to co-host True News back on, I think, May the 19th and 20th. And this was the topic, is that God sometimes has to get our attention by removing some down feathers out of our nest to make us finally leave. But there's a purpose for our leaving, and we have to focus on what's the purpose of our going. And that's what I'm kind of leaning toward right now, just is that it took a while now of even being here that God began to maybe remove some thoughts or preconceived ideas, maybe. Because really, honestly, you didn't know exactly why you were coming. It's just, no, you were supposed to come. But now that you're here, and you've kind of gone through the fire like all of us seem to go through here, of testing, that it seems like God is now opening doors right now. I'm seeing this right now for you. And I'm finding that the key to fulfilling what God has for each one of us is that we have to have the heart of a servant. That God is, you know, when Moses came before Pharaoh, it's interesting that American Pharaoh just won the Triple Crown, you know, with horse racing. Is that a sign? But Pharaoh, when he went before Pharaoh, the Lord said through Moses, "Let my people go that they might serve me." And I know that this is the whole purpose of why anybody's being let go right now. If God is, you know, if he's allowing us to leave, the reason is to serve him. And so, if we can leave our place of comfort or our place that we've been so used to, our nest, so to speak, if our heart is to serve the Lord, then the Lord will open up unbelievable doors and manifest himself in a way that we could have never dreamed of. And I've seen that happen in my own life, is that, you know, I didn't know why God wanted us here, and I just knew we were supposed to come. And we just came and began to serve at the Assembly of God Church, whatever way. And then all of a sudden, the people nominate me to be the leader of the men's ministry, which is the first time a gringo had ever been nominated to a leadership position in the Assembly of God for 45 years in Panama. So this was a very unique thing, but I didn't run for office. I didn't, you know, it was all God. And I actually ended up getting more votes than anybody. And I didn't think anybody knew, that many people knew me. So it was all God. And it's just kind of funny that when I was said to the people, I said, well, thank you for your vote of confidence, and I will do all I can to serve you. And with a language barrier, because I don't speak any Spanish, which was really kind of ironic that they would put somebody in a position like that with no Spanish, you know, under their belt. But I was leaving the front of the church after mentioning this word, and I just was joking to somebody that spoke English as I was walking away, and I said, well, I guess I'm in the army right now. And I heard the Lord speak back to me. He said, yeah, you are. But it's like when we are really put into a position, when we go to serve the Lord, we don't have any rights anymore. And this is what I think a lot of us have to go through, is we have to go through the stripping process of us being Lord and trying to call all the shots that we will be submitted, just like Paul had to come to that place, to the end of himself, where he lost it all of his reputation as this great Pharisee, and everybody else knew this guy, counted all as dung for the excellency and the gain that he was going to get in Christ Jesus in that position of a servant. And so I think that if all of us will go through that process quickly, it'll be painless. But if we struggle through it and we're my will versus God's will, just give it up now. Just say, Lord, your will be done in my life. And it's a lot easier to hand somebody what's in your hand and have it peeled out of your fingers. A lot less painful. And I think the Lord's just saying, just hold out your hand. Let me take what's in your hand so I can put what I want to put in your hand. And this is where I believe that the manifestation now of in your life that I'm seeing right now is that God is now opening doors. He's giving you favor with people. And it's exciting to see, because I've seen too many people come here and leave to go back just before the opportunity they were looking for manifested. It's like they were being tested through that time of not having what they were looking for, to see if they say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And it really proved to the Lord, I think, that it was really all about your will, because when you didn't see exactly what you wanted to see happen in the time frame you wanted to see it happen in, you went back to continue to live your life the way you want to. You weren't willing to be broken and crushed that I could do something with you. And so, just as an encouragement for people that are thinking about leaving, know the purpose of your leaving is to serve. And if you'll have your hands open and erase your chalkboard of your agenda, which the Lord very clearly showed me, is that I had to erase my agenda board and why I was coming and leave it blank. He said, don't you write on that board. You wait for me to write on it. And then you follow my orders, and everything's going to go great. So that's what's kind of exciting, is that when you erase your agenda board, open up your hand, say, Lord, take whatever you need to take out of my life. The process is very painless, much less painless anyway.
Right. And one thing I can say from watching people just in the short time I've been here come and go, and hearing the stories of people who have left, is that one of the major challenges is that most of us in North America have been taught a false gospel. And, you know, it's easy to point the finger at a Creflo Dollar who's trying to come up with $65 million for his new Gulfstream or whatever and say, oh, well, that's egregious. That's over the top. But, you know, when we look in Revelation at one of the characteristics of Babylon, excessive luxuries is one of the things that's listed. And, you know, when I say that we've been taught a false gospel, what I mean is that people that I see departing to go back to the United States from here, it is because they are not disciples of Christ. And you say, well, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? And specifically what I mean is that a disciple of Christ is taught that if we have food and we have clothing, we're to be content with that. Now, are we taught that in the United States of America? Because I've not seen a single person head back to the United States from here in Panama that didn't have food and clothing, and yet that wasn't enough. They needed more. They needed what they were accustomed to having. And we're all accustomed to flipping a light switch and having electricity. We're accustomed to, you know, all kinds of things. But the basics, you know, and you say, well, that was Paul. You know, well, let's go back to what Jesus said. He said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, if I look in context of that scripture, what all these things were that he was talking about, only two things, food and clothing. So, you know, when I see people that are heading back because their expectations are not met here, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our only expectation needs to be food and clothing. Now, understand, I'm not trying to preach some kind of poverty mindset, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He does own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the gold and the silver is his. Everything is his, and we are his sons and daughters. But, you know, we're also taught that godliness with contentment is great gain. And I don't, though we're taught that, or at least we should be reading that, many of us in North America have lost sight of that.
That's right. You know, there's a scripture that comes to my mind that Jesus said, no man has left houses and lands and sisters, brothers, wife, you know, it goes on the whole list of things that shall not receive 100-fold in this life, houses and lands and family and all that, and in the life to come, eternal life. So it's, you know, sometimes, and I explain it like this, it's like the pruning season always precedes the fruitful season. And when you give up these things, it's like you're the tree that has branches that are not bearing fruit, and they need to be trimmed off of us. And I think this is, the pruner is a good pruner. He knows what he's doing. When he prunes our branches that are being unfruitful in our life, it's the whole purpose is to bear more fruit. So if we will allow the pruner to do his job, he knows what he's doing, the whole purpose is for great fruitfulness. I mean, 100-fold, that's pretty serious return of allowing the pruner to snip some branches in their life.
Yeah, that's good ROI right there.
You know, speaking of false doctrines, and I know I've been listening to Rick Wiles here on True News the last several days, and he told me yesterday, and we had a conversation, that he's been exited from, I think, 17 Christian broadcasting radio stations, just because of he's trying to tell people the truth, that they better prepare for hard times, that maybe the little escape hatch may not open when they think of getting out of here. He talked about the pre-tribulation rapture and the mindset that can cause in somebody not being prepared mentally for what's coming. And I woke up this morning and the Lord put this word on my heart, and it was, the false doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture has cost millions of Christians their soul, because the foundation of their walk with me was based upon a way out rather than a way in. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. No man will do the will of my Father until they pursue the will of my Father. A way out mentally will nullify their pursuit. A way out mentality will cause a potential disciple to stay on the shore of life and never strive for the other side. He will never encounter contrary winds to strengthen his faith in me. He will disciple and duplicate others with the same faithless mindset, and it's impossible to please me without faith. How will that man hear the words at the end of his journey, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord? The end of that man's journey will not be filled with joy, will be filled only with sorrow and regret. So quit looking for a way out and start looking for a way in. Cast your boat from the shore and set yourself for the other side. That is where I will meet you. You'll know you're heading the right direction when you encounter the contrary winds of persecution. For persecution has always been the trademark of those who are truly living for me. I will strengthen your faith as you continue to row through those winds, and you will be strengthened to endure the days that lie ahead. Those who consider themselves mine will lose faith as they are ill prepared for the testing that is soon to arrive. Now is the time to strengthen what remains. Now is the time to pursue a way in rather than a way out. So what will it be? Are you in or are you out? That choice must be made before the storm arrives. And I really believe that this is what the Lord's saying right now, is that we will never do the will of God if we're looking for a way out. If we're looking for an escape from persecution, or we're looking for an escape from hard times, that's what refines us. That's the oven that bakes out the junk in us that needs to go. And what you're saying almost is that I don't want this stuff to, I want to hold on to my comforts and all the things that have made me feel good about myself, instead of allowing the Lord to expose what needs to be exposed in our life. And I don't even know what would happen to me if I hadn't come and left my comfort zone, left the other side, left the shore, so to speak, because this is where the greatest work has ever happened in my life, is out in the midst of the sea, where I have to learn to trust the Lord and have to fight the winds. But this is where great, great things happen in our life. And God's waiting on many people to leave the shore right now, because there's a great thing on the other side. In fact, He's going to meet us all. Whether it's the fourth watch, you think He's never going to show up, He always shows up. But He's waiting for us to want Him so badly to show up in our lives.
Yeah, amen. You know, it's when it comes to that topic of the rapture, you know, we've had a couple of callers recently call into the offices and ask, well, so what's your take on this? You know, are you pre, are you mid, are you post-tribulation? I say, well, it's irrelevant. They say, well, what do you mean it's irrelevant? No, I mean, this is a doctrinal issue. It's very important. And I said, no, it doesn't matter at all. And they say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, go ask our brothers and sisters that are locked up in prison camps in North Korea, whether they're pre, mid, or post. That it's this is not a debate that they're having there. I mean, they're being persecuted for Christ. Their life is their testimony. You know, go ask brothers and sisters in Syria, in Egypt, you know, people who are being beheaded on beaches and wearing orange jumpsuits, you know. This really, you know, and furthermore, my opinion on the matter is not going to change when the Lord comes back. There's no question. Someday He will appear in the clouds, and we who are left alive at that point will be caught up to be with Him. But I don't think we're going to miss that event. Human history will be very clear on that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And this is the thing, is that if we are trying to figure out whether He's going to come mid, post, you know, pre, He's going to come when He's ready. The real question is, are we going to be ready when He comes? And what I've seen for years, ever since I became a Christian, this has been a big issue. I can see that most people that want to believe that He's going to come before anything bad happens, is they don't really think they could endure through those bad times. And it's really almost a testimony that they're not willing to go through it. Lord, come and get me out of here, because I don't know if I'll make it through this thing. And I've always been on the mindset, you know what? I need to, in my mind, that if I was called to lay my neck down on a chopping block, I want to be ready mentally right now, that I'm willing to do that, because then it doesn't matter. And I think the whole key is that we're not willing to really lay down our life. See, if we're saying, Lord, You have my life, whether I have to put my neck on a chopping block, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me whether it's mid, post, pre. It doesn't matter, because my life is Yours, and I'm willing to lay my life down at this point in time. So really, if we have a big discussion or debate about pre, mid, post, it's really, the real true question is what's inside of our heart. Are we really not totally dedicated to the death? Because the Lord had changed some questions He'd asked me years ago. He asked me, would you die for me? And I said, yeah, I would. Well, after I got here, He changed the tense of the verb. And He said, will you die for me? And then I'm as in tears, because His presence was so strong in this van that I was driving. And I said, yes, I will. And it's like He said, you said it. And it's like it changed it from a theory to reality. So if we can say in our heart, yes, Lord, I will, then it doesn't matter when He comes back, because we're going to be ready when He comes back, because we're ready to go. His life is already ours.
Right.
Our life is already His. We've already made this exchange, that yours is mine and mine is yours. And if I have to lay down my life just like you did, then praise God, so be it.
Well, my understanding is that on that day, whenever that day comes, that those who hear the voice of their Father saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant," are those who have daily answered that question, "Yes, I will," and not only answered it with our lips, but walked that out. So, I mean, again, this is Christianity 101. This is our foundation. You know, anyone who would be his disciple, daily we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. And so, again, to look in some theoretical, hypothetical scenario, maybe someday I'll be at the end of an AK-47 and someone will be asking me, "Do you deny Christ or do you acknowledge him?" Well, that's easy. That's going to be over in a second. You know, maybe even getting your head chopped off. You know, how long could that possibly last? I'm not saying that's a pleasant experience, but the greater issue is, what are we doing today? Are we answering today? "Yes, I'll die to myself today, Lord."
Yeah.
You know, that's what Paul said. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the life that I live in the flesh, I live in the Son of God." You
that's
know, I mean, he lives
right.
in me. So
that's right. So, I mean, the real question is, are you willing to take some persecution? Are you willing to post something about the Lord on Facebook? You know, maybe that's a little bit more difficult question than when you lay your neck on the chopping block. You know, for me, you know, most people won't even take the persecution amongst their friends. They would rather just keep their mouth shut. And we don't realize our biggest weapon is our mouth. It's to share the gospel. And that's why the enemy does everything he can to keep our mouth shut and intimidate us about what other people think. And this is a time of persecution that's coming, whether we like it or not. It's coming west, and we better be ready for it. I want to take the last minute or so that we have and just share a little bit about a website that we're putting together. David, you've been very helpful right now, and I'm overwhelmed almost with people calling and emailing just questions about what do they need to do to leave. And so you put a website together. It's called BocchettiHelp.com, and an email address is Bocchetti.help@gmail.com. And so this is going to be a place where people can get answers. We're also, Dr. Daniel, are doing a webinar. We've done some so far about this very topic of leaving to go with a purpose, and also what does it look like, legal issues, lawyers, what am I going to do about a job. And so we've done, and we're going to post that on the website as well, where you can go to a YouTube channel and get this information. So we got just a few moments left, David, but thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll just kind of continue this discussion as time goes, but thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks again for having me.
So again, our website is strength with the number 4 thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.